Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
So good to be back with you guys for our first episode of the new year. Today's episode is Greatest Hits 2014. Once again, this is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music, and my name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Like Carl mentioned, today on the podcast, we're going to be doing sort of a year in review where we look at all the music that we played over this past year. We pick out our favorite music that we discovered this past year and played on the show, and we're going to do sort of a really dense, awesome playlist of music for you guys. So this is, like the title suggests, the greatest hits of 2014.
And to make it clear, some people might be confused and think, oh, this is the greatest hits of games or soundtracks that came out in 2014. That is not the case. This is music that we played on this podcast in 2014.
Right.
For the most part, this is new discoveries that we weren't familiar with before this year. There are some, you know, games that we had been familiar with before that we, for whatever reason, didn't get around to playing this a particular track from. And there are a couple examples of actual 2014 released games today as well.
Well, yeah, so, of course, because the way that we do this is a mix from all different types of episodes. So there's tracks here that we've played from show and tells, from individual spotlights, from different kind of genre or subcategories that we featured and had episodes
about. For the most
part,
it's the track of the week of that given episode. We actually went through every single episode this past year, looked through the playlists, and picked, you know, our absolute favorite. We had to whittle it down. I remember last year, Will, myself, and Marty, we were at MAGFest, and in the hotel room last January, we did our whittling down, and that was so difficult because we had some just amazing music
last
year.
That's probably going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So couldn't make it to MAGFest this year, so if anyone's, you know, there right now, shout out. Hope you guys are having a good time.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say just at the top of this episode, and it's fitting since we're kind of looking back at 2014, today is actually a very exciting day because this is the day that the Fireflower video gets launched. If, for those of you who don't know, Fireflower was the original musical comedy that all three Super Mercado Brothers were involved in over the summer. It's a musical that Marty wrote, and I helped with some of the music and acted in it, and Carl played a big part in the show. He acted in it as well, and it was a whole lot of fun. And anyways, I know a lot of you have asked about seeing that show, so that gets released today, and it's cool because this is the first musical in history to feature an 8-bit accompanying score. So
absolutely,
we're really proud of that, and we're proud of Marty for releasing that today. So that's Fireflower, original musical, and you can find that on YouTube. And we'll probably have links on our Facebook and Twitter pages and stuff.
Awesome. So let's get to the music here. We have a lot of it to get to today. What you guys heard playing in with was from Sonic Lost World. That was a recent discovery that we made this year. That track was Wonder World. I think it's the main theme of Sonic Lost World. That's composed by Tomoyo Otani, Takehito Iguchi, and Naofumi Hitaya. Now, guys, we're going to start things off with a track from Mario 3D World. We had an episode this past year, fairly early on in the year, spotlighting on that soundtrack. We're going to play the track of the week, what we probably both consider probably the best piece of music from that game. This is Athletic, one of the few tracks composed by Koji Kondo from Super Mario 3D World, released for the Wii U in 2013, but featured this past year on our podcast. Let's take a listen. Wonderful track. You guys are listening to Athletic from Super Mario 3D World, composed by Koji Kondo and performed by the wonderful Mario 3D World Big Band. It's such a treat in this soundtrack to have all these real players that are putting so much heart and soul, personality into this music. What I think is very unique and surprising of a choice for this track, this Athletic theme, is that the drums are a really nice kind of brush jazz feel, right. Which is something that I wasn't expecting for the athletic theme. You know, you're right. Thinking something, it's going to be more bluegrass, or it's going to be just a little bit louder.
I think they really wanted to sell the big band aesthetic. You know, Super Mario Galaxy really featured that full orchestra so heavily. I think they really wanted to set this game aside from that and create right. its own uniquely individual music identity. And
such a good melody on this. Do you have anything to say about the way that he uses, because what I notice about this is the way he uses small fragments, just those three notes, and kind of the interesting path and journey this song takes.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, it's definitely, I wouldn't call it a formula or anything, but there's definitely this beauty that's very observable in all of his melodies that really showcases an impeccable structure and an impeccable form. I say it's not a formula because I think a lot of people, when they notice that something is perfect or, you know, really smooth around all the edges,
right.
they want to simplify it to, oh, this guy, just all of his music sounds the same. But I definitely don't mean to say that
at all. Well, this sounds like no other Koji Kondo track I've ever heard. And it doesn't sound anything like previous Mario music. That's what I love, is he's still wanting to push the boundaries and go places that Mario hasn't gone before.
But yet, it fits so well into this
universe.
Oh,
it absolutely does.
And, you know, it sits right alongside his impressive catalog of Mario tunes, something that I think really sets this one apart. You know, I could imagine this piece existing in another Mario game, but it would have probably a little bit more vanilla kind of orchestration, you know, a much simpler bass part, a much simpler kind of harmonization. But here, you know, like you said before, it's really authentic big band writing. That walking bass line is so intricate. That's what I was enjoying on this listen to, just hearing all the
moves. Performance is great. What I love is you finally get a big budget Mario soundtrack. So it's composed well, it's arranged well, it's recorded and mixed really well and performed well. So finally we get to have
that. And it's much more kind of small ensemble as opposed to,
perfect,
it's big
for
band,
Mario.
Right, but it's much smaller than, you know, like a 70-piece orchestra like they had for Galaxy. So it's a different type of production sound. You know, the mics are in different places. You don't have that reverb kind of sound.
You know what I love is I don't really care what direction they go with in the future for Mario music, as long as it's with real performers and as long as they have the attention to detail, you know, whether it's orchestral or jazz.
All the composers that have been working on the series as of late, I mean, obviously including Koji Kondo, but they really they get Mario. They know how to write music for this series. I've recently been playing Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, and that was a soundtrack completely done by Mahito Yokota. And again, I mean, if you didn't already love that guy, it just showcases, you know, the chops that he has for that series in particular.
Well, now we're going to move on to Transistor. If you guys remember, we had an episode focusing on the music of Darren Korb. We talked to Darren and we focused on specifically Transistor. That was the most recent game by Supergiant Games. And we're going to play our favorite track from Transistor. This is definitely one of our favorite soundtracks that we discovered this past year. And I don't know, this is a track that kind of really resonates with both of us. You know, some of the picks today, guys, are Will's personal favorite tracks. Some of them are my personal favorites, and some of them are kind of unanimous decisions. This is one such track. Here's Coasting from Transistor, composed by Darren Korb. Listening to Coasting from Transistor, composed by the wonderful Darren Korb. Gosh, yeah, this piece is just oozing with cool factor. I mean, everything about it. I really like the bossa nova acoustic guitar line he's doing. But then you're never expecting those electronic drums to come in, you know, because it's such a different genre and era than what you hear when it starts off with just the acoustic guitar. You know, you're right. Hearing maybe some sort of percussion, but you're definitely not hearing like techno drums. And that combination, you know, the real kind of human grit mixed with the perfection of, you know, computer-based music is, I think, so present in Transistor and really is what makes it stand out.
Well, and something that I love about Darren Korb's music, it's also perfect for, you know, an indie game, which is what Bastion and Transistor are, you know? I mean, Supergiant, you know, it's a relatively small developer. And so I think the
very
kind
small.
Of... What I love is his music has this kind of garage, made-at-home, homebrew sound
right.
to it, which makes it much more relatable. It, I don't know. To me, it puts the games in context. And it's also... This soundtrack in particular, I was really kind of floored because there's a lot of instances where... and I think we talked about this on the episode, but where he'll be like vaguely trying to approximate a sound or a style, mm-hmm. but he'll still be doing it with his own means. And I loved that. Like, for example, he wanted like a steel guitar sound, but rather than using like a steel guitar sample or an actual steel guitar, you know, he used his own kind of acoustic guitar and like put it through different effects. And I really appreciated that you could kind of tell that he was trying to approximate
well, some
it, but
of those,
never get too big.
Some of the creativity, some of the creative choices in these soundtracks come from the fact that he was doing it all in his apartment with his very limited resources.
Right.
So that is, again, we talk about this time and time again about limitations, you know,
but I do think it's sort of a ballsy
creativity.
Choice to like embrace that. Cause I mean, I know you and I are probably working with even more limited resources, but we still, you know, we'll try to have bigger, more ambitious kind of sound. So I really appreciate that he kind of embraced the smallness of it.
Well, I'm excited to move on to this next track. This was way back in our episode, Bad Games with Good Music, which was an early episode in 2014. And that was a episode
April
that,
Fools, I think.
It may have been, yeah. I that was an episode that I had been looking forward to for so long. We had the playlist set, I think, the year before, but we had this other idea.
Well, yeah, it was sort of a last minute. I think it was honestly like... very few days before, but
we changed,
it was going to be Bad Games with Good Music, but then I thought like, well, no, if it's April Fools, we should just have it be bad music.
And that was so fun.
And it was really easy. It didn't take very long.
I kind of want to do a bad music volume too.
Yeah, it was
too.
Very
that
cathartic
was so fun.
To just kind of rip on.
But anyway,
stuff.
This was the track of the week of that episode, Bad Games with Good Music. This is from the game Nier, spelled N-I-E-R, composed by Kaichi Okabe, and this track is called Grandma, featuring vocals by Emmy Evans. It's just gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. In case
oh
you guys were confused
gosh.
By the whole thing we're talking about. No,
this is
Bad Games
music.
With Good Music.
Yeah,
this is so good.
One of the most beautiful pieces I think I've ever played on this podcast.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to share this again.
This is one of the greatest hits of 2014.
So this is Grandma from Nier. Thank you. Oh, that's so gorgeous. You guys are listening to Grandma. That's from the game Nier, composed by Kaichi Okabe, vocals performed by Emmy Evans. This is, the lyrics are in French, as you can hear. Beautiful harmonies. She's harmonizing with herself, and oh my gosh, just such a, I don't even know where to start. Where would you start? It's like, how are we going to talk about this track? I mean, we know it's powerful, it's beautiful. We're all surprised that it's in this not very good game. It's just,
to me, one of the most effective things. It has those kind of harmonic minor chord things where you use the major five, and that's really effective and beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I think one of my favorite things about this piece is that the arpeggio is so constant.
Yeah.
And it's very carefully,
composed. Yeah.
Very subtle. It also, it's great because it works a dual purpose. At first, it captures your attention by being sort of this little instrumental intro. But then it also, it's the same exact arpeggio sequence while she's singing. So it's also able to support
fit underneath
her singing,
it.
Not get
well,
in the way.
Well, also, before the snare drum comes in, it's really good for kind of keeping the rhythm going.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and keeping that rhythmic subdivision. And that's something I think a lot of master composers
though.
Are great at. They're able to somehow keep rhythmic subdivisions and not kind of kill the momentum.
And how about the performance of the piano, too? I mean, again, it's just like a really solid performance. Obviously, Emmy did a beautiful job singing. We can talk a little bit about her vocals. I mean, French is such a beautiful language. I'm not sure who wrote the lyrics for this. I'd be interested to know
the meaning
of the lyrics.
I don't know who wrote French.
I don't know who wrote French. But
good job on that one. That's
a
good language.
It's rare that you hear video game music vocals that aren't Japanese. So
and that are in French.
Yeah, that is just, oh my gosh, so beautiful. So anyway, we're going to move on to the next track. I'm excited about this. We're really going to change things up here. We're going to play a track that I believe Will brought in some show and tell episode this past year, maybe like show and tell 10 or 11 or something. This is Mighty No. 9 main theme composed by Manami Matsume. And I'm really glad that Will kind of fought to include this today because for some reason my memory of how good it was not quite accurate. I went back to listen to it. I realized, wow, this is a killer
track.
I'm
so in love with this theme.
It's got to be on today's episode.
Some of the, there's a whole series of interviews that you guys should check out on YouTube while you're, you know, looking at that Fireflower video. You guys should check out these interviews with Manami Matsume because they totally changed my perception of how some of my favorite video game music was written.
Well, let's take a listen to the main theme from Mighty No. 9. You know, that part here kind of is fitting for winter time, you know, holiday music.
Heart just sings when that key change with the little twinkly.
The twinkles.
I'm just a child again.
Yeah, this is such a killer track. Oh my gosh, the way it starts off with just the kind of that lead, kind of fluty sounding lead. You don't know where the one is, you're unsure of the rhythms, the bass comes in, and then the beat comes in, and then the awesome melody. It's literally building and building on like how cool it is, and you almost can't stand it. It gets to a point where you're just like, this is just like, it's so classic. It's kind of crazy now that, because it already seems so classic to me. Like, it's crazy that I first heard this year, or right. I should say, you know, last year, 2014. It blows my mind. It seems already like such a classic. So,
I remember originally it took me like a few repetitions to get used to the melody, how it went. Somehow it like didn't make sense to me. But I think a lot of video game music melodies are like that first time, but you know, we've heard them so much it's hard for us to go back to that place of
Now we're going to move on to a track from Rayman Legends. If you guys remember, also earlier in 2014 we had that episode spotlighting on Origins and Legends. Now obviously we're familiar with these soundtracks, we've played a lot of the music before in 2013.
Legends came out in like November or December of 2013, so it's a very new soundtrack.
But here's a track that we played for the first time on that episode, one of the best tracks. This is Storming the Castle, composed by Christoph Herrall from Rayman Legends. So much personality, so much humor in this music. I'm sure all of you guys can recognize that nod to Ride of the Valkyries, that, you know, that classic
Wagner piece
of music, you know, dun 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 dun, dun, dun. We all know. It's so cool how he's winking at that, but I am a really big fan of the orchestration of kind of the call and response all over the orchestra, and then all of a sudden the way that he uses that Rayman theme and then goes right, it's only for a short amount of time. It's always really interesting to see how he uses that theme.
Well, somehow that Ride of the Valkyries, I don't know how. I mean, it may be public domain, but whether it is or it isn't, I feel like it's become one of those kind of themes that just has sort of a ubiquitous use in film, television, video games. They almost use it as if you can just kind of like quote it.
Maybe you can.
For free.
You might be able to. Well, yeah, no. Awesome soundtrack, awesome track.
I remember there's one part in Full Throttle, remember, where you have those little bunnies over the minefield?
Absolutely. That's that actually, when I think of that piece of music, that's the first thing I think of.
Isn't that
is
sad?
Is Full Throttle. That's very
ride
sad.
Ride of the disposable bunnies in the minefield.
Oh, gosh. That you bought from, like, what is it, George Bush? The guy.
What?
He sounded just like George Bush, you know?
Oh, the guy who did all the voices for
the concession
for
stand, or the guy who sells you the things in the stadium.
I feel
he
like
sounds
it's
like the first
one
George
voice
Bush.
Actor. I think he does the Woody Allen guy.
Or actually, you know
Sam
what?
Max.
Sorry. Ross Perot is what kind of he was going for.
Oh.
Anyway.
This is so nerdy and just cycled into itself.
We're now going to move on to a track of the week from another show and tell. You know, Will, there were a couple show and tells this year that you did win the track of the week. This was one of them. I remember you won this one. This is from Tengami by the wonderful David Wise. This is The Awakening, the main theme from Tengami. Such a beautiful track that if you didn't know, you would be like, oh yeah, this is a Japanese piece of music. But no, it's composed by the British Dave Wise. Does such a good job.
But what's great, it doesn't just sound like Japanese like folk music, which is, I think, what he was going for. It
sounds like Japanese video game
music.
Yeah,
exactly.
So with that said, let's take a listen to The Awakening from Tengami. Such a beautiful piece. This is actually one of the few tracks that is from a game released in 2014, so that's kind of cool. This is The Awakening from Tengami.
Yeah, I got this track before it even came out. I had to, on some shady site, I had to like...
No, it's on Bandcamp.
It was really hard to get like a clean rip of this that wasn't from the trailer. I don't remember how I got it.
Ah, so beautiful. Yeah, I remember that was an episode where I played a Tropical Freeze track. By the way, early in next season, we're going to be doing our spotlight on Tropical Freeze. Finally, it's been a while.
Oh, nice.
I've been putting that off for some reason, but yeah, such a great soundtrack as well.
I'm still yet to play all the game. I've only made it to the second world.
I haven't beat it. I've played, I don't know what world I'm at, but yeah, such a fun game, such a great soundtrack. So fun to have David back. So now we're going to move on to, hey, this is another game that came out in 2014. This is Mario Kart 8.
Ooh.
Again, another really good kind of jazz, big band, rock, orchestral in a couple tracks too. Just really good, you know, real performances.
Have a few other genres
you
want to spout off before we play the track?
Techno? Remixes?
Actually, there might be a techno track in this game.
The composers on this game are Shiho Fuji, Atsuka Asahi, Ryo Nagamatsu, and Yasuaki Awada. We're going to play, of course, the title screen,
and
my favorite
this
track.
We do need to give a
game.
Credit to Soyo Oka because they reference her title screen.
You'll guys hear that at the end. I don't know if
Mario
we'll get
Kart.
To that before we fade, but we'll definitely hear that. The original Super Mario Kart theme. So cool how they do that. So this is the title screen for Mario Kart 8.
Mario Kart 8!
You guys are listening to the title screen from Mario Kart 8. Such a wonderful piece of music, just oozing with fun. It's just so much fun. It right away lets you know what you're getting yourself into with that incredibly virtuosic slap bass solo. It's like the first thing you hear. It's so cool. It's such a great choice. The drummer's playing a dance beat. But then you have a big band. It's like, I don't even know what genre this is.
It's Mario Kart.
Yeah,
it's
Mario
Kart. Exactly. You know what
it's
I love?
It's a fusion.
About Nintendo, whenever they do incorporate, you know, performers live, real performers, I feel like the instrument choices and the type of ensembles they put together are exactly right. You know, I'm so impressed with this because this really captures
this part
everything
here.
I love
this
about
this part reminds
Mario
me
Kart
of
music.
70s jazz fusion. It's like a keyboard instrument, but it's kind of like with a
synthesizer.
I mean,
it just, honestly, it feels so Nintendo. I love it.
Yeah. big, I got to give, you know, kudos to that bass player, whoever he is. You rock.
Oh, and that sax. So I love when a tenor sax plays in an alto's range. Mm-hmm. You get that really kind of bitey.
Yep, absolutely. Quality. Well, now I'm excited for this. We're going to play a track from an episode near the beginning of 2014. We had a Falcom Sound Team JDK episode, which I had been obviously so excited. I'm a really big fan of Falcom music for the PC-88 and 98. And this is a soundtrack that I discovered this past year. It's Brandish VT.
Oh, this is such a good soundtrack.
This is such a cool soundtrack. And this track really... I don't know. It really stuck with me after that episode. I remember being at work and having this in my head for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, whenever I talk to you, you'd just be in tears, just sobbing.
No, this is a really dancey, fun track. This is Blackfield, composed by Falcom Sound Team JDK from Brandish VT. God, this has been in my head for the better part of this whole year. This is Blackfield from Brandish VT. Very obscure choice. Probably wouldn't be on anyone else's podcast of greatest hits. I like playing obscure music on this podcast in addition to,
you know, what's crazy,
big,
dude,
you know,
when we started
stuff.
This show, I almost like said to myself, yeah, we're never gonna play really obscure shit just to be cool. And I mean, we don't play stuff.
I only play it because I love it.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like after
this
enough
is a great
time,
track.
You know, once you get through all the great, you know, popular stuff, eventually you do hit.
And also,
dig up some
gems. It's fun for me because I have this thing called the Hoot Player, which is this software that emulates PC-88 and 98 music, and it's all in Japanese, and it's really fun for me to just, there's this whole world, this whole big well of unknown music that most of the world has never heard.
What up hoot.
Yeah, no, I think that's something that's really enjoyable for me. But yeah, no, this track, it just grooves. I think it has a good melody. Will really has a problem with the weird tradition of Falcom PC-88 and 98 music not having drums almost at all, like barely, like maybe there's a snare, but like there's definitely no kick or hi-hat in this one.
I just feel,
I don't know,
restless.
Why
I'm surprised that I have a bigger problem with it than you do.
I think I've just gotten so used to it in PC-88 98 music.
I think you're a fanboy. You're a Falcom
fanboy.
You'll justify
well,
your
now,
instincts to have drums.
We're gonna move on. Just to warn you, we have not one but two Jake Kaufman tracks in today's best of 2014.
And how could we not?
How could we not? We're gonna play a track that was so inspirational to me. Will brought this track in again. A lot of great choices come from Will from previous
what
show.
What can
and tells.
I say, man?
Yeah. This is from Mighty Switch Force, and the track that Will brought in on that particular episode was Whoa, I'm in Space Cuba. Of course, this is composed by Jake Kaufman. I remember being really inspired by the rhythms of this, and kind of got me going on my Sonic-esque Volume 4 album, as far as just like really wanting to try to make rhythms that are dancey and that are interesting, in addition to having good melodies.
If I had to summarize this track in two words, the words I would choose would be great and really cool, awesome.
Let's take a listen to Whoa, I'm in Space Cuba from Mighty Switch Force.
We'll be right back.
This is my third favorite track that we've played this entire year. I actually, because I did a nerdy Excel spreadsheet where I rated all of them in order to pick. I had to do that, though, in order to pick which 20 tracks that we're playing today. This was my third favorite. So there's only two tracks above this for the entire year of the podcast. This is Whoa, I'm in Space Cuba, composed by Jay Kaufman.
I should make an Excel spreadsheet of the nerdiest things we've ever said on the podcast.
That's a good idea. You should get on that. This is just the epitome of groovy. It's just so groovy. If someone doesn't know what groovy means, play them this track.
Well, I mean, I mean, it's great and it's super cool, awesome. I mean,
yeah, no, you were.
What else do you need to say?
At first, I thought you were kidding, but
one thing,
you're actually right.
Space Cuba would be my last word.
Space Cuba. So now we're going to move on to my second favorite track of the entire year. There's only one other track on this entire playlist that I rated higher than this. This is such a cool discovery. This is Gravity Rush.
Oh my God, I love this.
This was definitely a close contender.
This might be my favorite.
This was definitely a contender for track of the year, but we ended up going with something else.
And guess what freaking episode it came out of? Mercado Radio.
Mercado
Radio. We didn't even get to talk about it. Yeah, I'm so excited.
I'm glad we're going to get to talk about it today. This is Resistance and Extermination, composed by Kohei Tanaka from Gravity Rush.
We should honestly, Train Station at 8, they do podcasts just on one episode. Honestly, we should do a whole episode on this track.
Maybe a bonus episode.
Oh my God, I love this.
All right, here we go. Holy smokes, that's a beautiful piece of music right there. Wow, that's Resistance and Extermination composed by the OG, Kohei Tanaka. Holy smokes.
No great orchestral video game music piece is complete without a B section that just makes you melt.
Yeah.
I mean, good. God damn.
It's so good. And then what I love is that C section is a little bit more kind of badass. And again, it's the idea of taking a small kernel. With this piece, it's the ba-do-ba-do. That's the idea. And he goes, dun-dun-dun, 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 dun-dun-dun.
Right.
It's almost like Beethoven, how he can take a small fragment and just kind of tweak with it for the entire track.
But Beethoven would never write something like this.
Yeah, this is the part Will was talking about.
This part, that makes me melt.
It makes him melt.
It reminds me of a lot of kind of lounge music or production music, kind of stock music, you know, we consider like elevator music or Muzak that you would hear from like the, you know, 50s or 60s. But
right.
Just
yeah, no,
so
but
much
in
of that
general,
stuff has those lyrical
how
B
impressive
sections.
Is it that the small of a kernel of dun-dun-dun, that's all, he takes that dun-dun-dun and makes a piece out of that.
But I mean, it's not all. I mean, I think that's part of the music making process. Is it's like our brains can only comprehend so much. That's why the best melodies have to be simple, or they have to rely on something.
But isn't
that
it
you can
inspiring
hit
though?
On.
When
you,
if, I think when it's you're very trying inspiring. To show someone like how composers come up with themes and motives, it's like this is
well,
almost the best.
I
example
think it shows
of that.
Something about the thought process that it's kind of like you, it doesn't all come at once. You do a little bit at a time, and you just kind of build on it from there.
And
but also,
many different places.
I do hear there are people who try to simplify it to be like the only thing that Bach would write of this whole invention was just the first three notes, and then the rest of it followed all these structure and formulas. And it's like
no,
all
I'm
that
not
stuff
that.
Came afterwards
I'm
to
just
analyze
saying,
it.
that's definitely what came to him first. That's how he started this, and it's just great to see where he went.
Yeah,
with
and
it.
I love when you can see so composer. It's mm-hmm. almost like putting limitations on yourself to just kind of use a small nugget like that.
Well, now we're going to move on to something that was actually brought in by me from a show and tell episode. I was really excited about this. I remember I picked it for Will. I was so excited when I discovered this. This is Time Twist for the Famicom Disk System by Hajime Hirasawa, the only other game he ever did. You know, the classic Star Fox composer.
Is this my favorite one?
I'm not sure which one. This is track 15, which is the track of the week.
15?
The track of the week from that episode. Let's take a listen from Time Twist. Wow, this is track 15 from Time Twist, composed by Hajime Hirasawa.
Why?
Really one of the most talented composers ever to work at Nintendo.
He
happened to only do two games, but...
Makes me so sad.
Yeah, he went on to other things, bigger and better things. It is sad, and, you know, this piece makes me feel sad in a good way.
I mean, I love Hajime Wakai, but if I had to exchange the Hajimes,
I would exchange
them
right now. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry to say that, but if there was a hostage situation and we had to exchange Hajimes, I might have to do that.
Ugh.
I feel bad saying that. I don't.
I feel bad saying that. I mean, I love Wind Waker. I love Star Fox 64. Oh, this is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Let's move on.
I mean, I should never pit people against each other. That's not fair.
Yeah,
but
you really
okay.
The nerve.
I get it. But okay. I do feel very sad that we kind of missed out on potentially decades of great video game music.
But there is something kind of cool about someone coming in, doing something so legendary, and just leaving it. All right, see you guys.
Yeah, but there's also something cool about having decades of great music also.
Something really cool about that. So now we're going to move on to... Okay, this was from our episode spotlighting, one of the first episodes of 2014, spotlighting on the PlayStation. We had a PlayStation episode, and then the following week we had an N64 episode. This was, I believe, the track of the week of our PS1 episode, Medal of Honor, the title theme composed by the wonderful film and TV composer and video game composer Michael Giacchino. Let's take a listen to this iconic theme. You're listening to the title theme from Medal of Honor for the PS1. Pretty bad game. You ever play the original Medal of Honor for the PS1?
Way to kill the mood.
Holy moly, is it clunky. It's so bad. I can't play PS1 shooters. It's just like...
Gosh, I'm being lost in these cello harmonies, and you're like, yeah, this game sucks.
No, this is a beautiful track. One thing I think is really cool is, do you guys notice how loud that cello underneath harmony is? It's way louder than the violin on top, in a good way, though. Like, it sounds like it's in the room with me.
But that's part of that, you know, before you had mixing boards and digital, you know, audio editing, composers would just have to deal with volume based on notation. And part of that is just the natural acoustics of higher frequencies carry more. So
isn't this
funny by having the lower harmony louder in the mix, it actually somehow feels more balanced.
It feels more balanced. Isn't
because
it funny
you
how
follow
this,
the melody line
this
too.
Feels almost like one of the most classic, like, militaristic themes in all of media? Not
honestly,
just movies, TV, anything.
But I feel that way about so many military themes. It's almost like, wow, not that they all sound the same, but they all kind of carry this huge caliber.
But he definitely was able
to
tap into that, you know, exactly that.
Well,
and
the writing, like, especially when you do have those string harmonies, mm-hmm. that just feels so timeless.
Well, guys, it is such an exciting moment because it's time to play our track of the year. Our 2014 track of the year is from Shovel Knight. It's Strike the Earth, Planes of Passage, composed by Jake Kaufman. Really, it was the first thought I had when we were putting this playlist together. I was like, okay, well, this is probably going to be track of the year. We thought about it. We concurred with each other. This is track of the year. I think this is...
Shovel Knight was definitely the best soundtrack produced this year. I mean, honestly, it's one of the best in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And this was such a big deal that even just for that show and tell episode, Carl and I actually discussed and kind of whittled Shovel Knight tracks to decide to play together on that episode because it was
crazy.
Such a big deal.
And this track in particular is just always something we go back to when we compose video game music. Is like, if you want like a certain kind of like a rocking energy, like this is like a perfect example of what to be inspired by. This is
and a great first stage theme. Yeah. I mean, you just can't do any
better.
Strike
the Earth from Shovel Knight. Just rocks so much. This is Strike the Earth, Planes of Passage from Shovel Knight, composed by Jay Kaufman. In your face. There's no ignoring this track.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try, you just, I can't not love it. I love it so much. It's one of my favorite video game pieces I've ever heard.
One might say it strikes the earth with perfection.
It strikes me to my core. I think with that said, let's just move on because there's really nothing more to say about that one. We've said everything that needs to be said.
Did we ever tell these guys that we got to meet Jake Kaufman?
Yes, I think we did. Yeah, and at some point we are going to have him on the podcast. So we're now going to move on to Fire Emblem Awakening, another awesome soundtrack that we were familiar with in 2013, but it wasn't until 2014 that we had that spotlight episode and played this particular track, one of Will's favorites. This is ID Serenity, composed by Hiroki Morishita.
Thank you.
This introspective piece of music is called ID Serenity. It's one of the early pieces of music from the soundtrack to Fire Emblem Awakening, composed by Hiroki Morishita. The other co-composer on the soundtrack was Rai Kondo, who also contributed some great music. But Hiroki Morishita, I'd say, did a little bit more of the heavy lifting, more of the tracks, and more of the kind of big kind of, you know, thematic
main themes, yeah,
moments. So yeah, this is definitely, I remember when I was first showing Will this soundtrack, this track, he was just like, oh my gosh, just kill me. Just that accordion is so beautiful.
And that first sequence of da-da-da-da is mm-hmm. just one of those great, I mean, honestly, those Japanese composers, they just, it's in their blood or something where they can just have those great little melodic riffs.
Yeah.
And whether they're very simple or whether they're complicated, their function is so immediate.
That's
and
true.
It's something about Japanese composers, because I don't get that with any other, in all of music history.
What's
you
in
don't
the water?
Have that dense kind
what
of.
What are they drinking over there?
Or just, ugh, those compelling intervals. I love it.
Yeah, we might have to go and live in Japan for a few years
just
to drink the water.
I so wish I could speak Japanese, because I would just want to move to Japan and
study
live
under
there
these
and
people.
Absorb the culture.
Maybe that's all it takes. So now we're going to move on to, I'm excited about this. This is a track, I know I wanted to include a track from our demo scene episode. That was a really unique and memorable episode for me of this entire podcast. I really had a good time, hard time though, but good time preparing for that episode. Weeks and weeks of preparation, try to sift through all these demos, listen to a lot of crap, a lot of mediocre stuff, and some really, really good stuff. This was a track that our friend Mark told me you have to include because there's this whole controversy with Nelly Furtado and Timbaland stealing
right.
the song from this lowly, this poor little Finnish...
This C64 dude.
C64 guy. This is Acid Jazzed Evening by Tempest. Oh my gosh, that's another track that really stuck with me way longer after that episode. It's this entire year I've been, every now and then I kind of think back to this, dude, it's such a great track, so inventive, and I do really like how it's used in the Nelly Furtado song. I think it's really unfortunate that they stole it and didn't credit him, and that he didn't get any compensation,
I mean,
with the lawsuit.
How freaking lazy is that? It's like, oh, okay, don't write your own thing, sample it. Okay, that's fine, but you don't even have time to...
Yeah, no, it's very unfortunate, but it's such a cool track, such a cool idea. Definitely the highlight for me of that demo scene episode,
right.
So... glad we got to include
that
today.
Well, I mean, maybe like Timbaland was embarrassed that
maybe.
He was doing something from a Commodore 64 thing, but if that was me, I mean, I'd be so like,
yeah.
I would want to bring attention to that.
One of the coolest examples of the influence of, you know, computer and video game music on pop music. It's pretty cool stuff. So now we're going to move on to probably the most recent track. This was only a few weeks ago. We had our Breath of Fire spotlight, and the track of the week was Challenge, one of the battle themes. Once again, the soundtrack is composed by Alf Lila. So let's take a listen to Challenge from Breath of Fire.
Thank you.
You guys are listening to Challenge from Breath of Fire, composed by Alf Lila. Yeah, no, this was, for me, this was definitely an easy choice for track of the week. It was the track that stood out to me. I remember it was kind of, I was a little bit hesitant to pick this as track of the week because it's not necessarily intuitive or it's not representative of classic Breath of Fire music, you know? Will, what are your thoughts on this as a battle piece? You know, because Lufia 2, you know, Final Fantasy, there's a lot of great battle themes, rocking battle themes in the SNES.
I like that your first thought is Lufia 2.
Lufia 2 has amazing battle tracks, yeah. No, but anyway, how do you think this separates itself from other SNES battle tracks? Or does it to you at all?
I think that it doesn't sort of abide by a lot of the genre cliches that we hear with this. It doesn't necessarily, it's not really a rock piece. It's not dark. It's not trying to be cool. It honestly has a lot of sort of like Spanish, European kind of influence, and the melody is very kind of specifically composed and crafted,
yeah,
which you don't get for a lot of battle music. Honestly, I mean, the only thing that really makes it feel like battle music, I guess, the general kind of emotional quality that's conveyed by the music, and also just kind of the tempo and sort of the rhythm section, yeah, elements of it. But
I agree.
I do think it kind of, it definitely establishes its own sound, and it sounds so SNES.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like, yeah, if Genesis music, if we can agree that that's just that kind of like dirty rock, like something that you'd hear in like Road Rash,
right,
then I think Super Nintendo, like, that's what this is.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I love that soundtrack so much.
This track also just really reminds me of Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. It might be some of those instruments, but also just the nature of the composition, that you do feel like you're getting some world music influence.
Right.
It definitely reminds me of Yoko Shimomura's
interesting
work.
Observation, Will. Well, now we're going to play a track that I submitted for some show and tell episode. Either that, or it might have been was it Game Boy Advance episode, possibly? But one of my favorite series for the Game Boy Advance, Summon Knight Swordcraft Story 2, composed by one of my favorite composers, Monaco Adachi. This is a track that I remixed this past year, did a modern arrangement of this. But this track is called On to Battle. I'm such a big fan of the exciting interaction between, you know, the legacy channels and the sample channels. And there's so much going on. You really have to listen to this track a couple times to really hear everything. But it's just so active and busy. And it's not just gobbledygook. Every little note is really well thought out.
Yeah, you really have to listen to it
well.
A lot of times, you know, playing the normal way. And then you listen to it a few times in reverse, you'll actually hear it'll say, Paul is dead.
No, but this is just a really well constructed piece of music. On to Battle from Summon Knight 2. You're listening to On to Battle from Summon Knight Swordcraft Story 2 for the Game Boy Advance, composed by Monaco Adachi. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite tracks I've shared this past year.
Oh, sorry. I was listening to the music. I didn't hear any of the crap you just said. No, I'm just kidding. I love this track. This is really beautiful. It's so weird to me that this is on Game Boy Advance.
I know.
Not that GBA doesn't have great music, but this just sounds so...
Genesis.
I don't know. Genesis, SNES, it's so 16-bit,
yes,
you know,
yes.
It's so old-school game music. It reminds me of some of our favorite soundtracks,
I know.
Rockman and Forte, or, oh God, I love it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Really great. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of UN Squadron.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. No, I mean, one of my favorite things about 16-bit era music is the interaction between all the different channels, because for the first time, instead of having three voice channels, they have five or six that they can use. And hearing the unique and creative ways in that era that those composers, obviously they have a strong melody, a strong bass line, and a nice drum beat. But in addition to that, the way that they're using arpeggios in making something so lush that wasn't possible before.
Are you talking about 3DO and TurboGrafx?
Exactly. Particularly Genesis and SNES is kind of what I'm talking about. The gotcha. New ways that they're
Atari
using more
links,
of those channels.
Right.
So yeah, guys, it's now time to play the last track we're going to talk about. And this is kind of a fitting farewell. It's not completely a farewell to the episode, but it's the last track we're going to, you know, talk about in earnest. This is from Bastion, and it's Setting Sail, Coming Home. Again, composed by Darren Korb. Probably the strongest track, I would say, from this soundtrack. Features great vocals by Darren himself.
This is a song, man. This song is killer. I love this.
Let's take a listen. Guys, this track really kind of sums the year up for me in a nice way. I had such a fun time on this podcast this past year, so I want to thank everyone, all of our listeners, for making this such a fun year for us. You know, I really think 2015 is going to be a really exciting year for us as far as some of the projects that we're going to have coming out, some of the episodes we have, ideas we have. I just think it's going to be a great year. It's going to be even better.
So this would be a bad time to announce my retirement from video game music?
That's what I was alluding to. It's going to be such a good year because I'm excited to announce the new co-host of the Super Mercado Brothers, Reggie.
Hey, guys.
Never mind. I didn't realize that Reggie had such a bad voice. Will, you still want to stay on the podcast?
I mean, I'm a little insulted now, but...
I know, but you heard Reggie. I mean, we can't have that every week. Are you down?
I guess.
Okay,
Reggie was the one thing I was looking forward to.
Okay. This, once again, is Bastion, Setting Sail, Coming Home, composed by Darren Korb. And this was Greatest Hits 2014, what we consider the best of what we played this past year. It was a tough act to follow our previous year Greatest Hits. We had some of the best tracks, you know, probably in the history of our podcast that year. So it's hard
I mean,
to act to
honestly,
follow.
Honestly, I imagine as the years go on, it's going to be hard for the Greatest Hits to keep up because we've already played some of our favorite music. The only thing we can hope for is that
new contemporary game
music keeps being released that ups the ante.
Awesome.
Well,
guys,
this is really fun.
For real this time, next week's topic is simulations. Sorry, I made a little bit of a mistake saying that at the end of last week's episode. But yeah, simulation
games. We plan our episodes so far ahead that sometimes we just get a little confused. And with me being in Duluth, there were a few episodes
that we had to record out of sequence.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're looking forward to that. We're going to play you out with Dear Friends from Final Fantasy V from our Final Fantasy Part 2 episode composed by Nobuo Uematsu.
Yeah, and once again, I just wanted to remind you all that you should definitely check out the video for Fire Flower. It's a complete performance, edited. It looks and sounds fantastic. And the soundtrack is on the way, so we're really proud of it, and we all put a lot of time and effort into it. And I think especially if you like this show, you know, you're a fan of our music, or you're just a fan of video games in general, I think you'd really love
Fire Flower. It's a fun show. Yeah, we had a blast with it, so excited to share it with you guys. Talk to you guys next week. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Happy New Year. Peace out.